Hey. And our text for this morning is the verse 7. Luke chapter 2 and verse 7. Those wonderful words. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the The Apostle Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Peter 1:15. And speaking of himself, the Lord Jesus said, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19, verse 10. So we can see that the Lord Jesus came into the world for the purpose of seeking, saving, and rescuing poor, lost souls. Indeed, that was the very message which an angel brought to Joseph. When he said to Joseph, Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, Matthew 1, verses 20 and 21. So since the Lord came to save his people from their sins, how then would he actually do that? How would he save his people from their sin? Well, John records for us the word that he received from God regarding his son Jesus Christ. John on the Isle of Patmos received this word, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. Revelation 1 and verse 5. That's how he saves his people from their sin, by his own blood. And that blood he would shed for sinners when nailed to the cross of Calvary. And so as our thoughts are very much upon the birth and the incarnation of Christ at this time of the year, we should remember that the Lord Jesus and his coming into the world was to save sinners, which then entailed that he would have to die. Christ then was born to die. He came to die. That's why he was born into the world. Indeed, as we look at the events surrounding his birth, we are indeed reminded of this very fact, that he came to die, that he came into the world to save sinners, because certain events which took place at his birth point forward to his death. That's what I want to consider with the Lord's help today. The one who was born to die. This is seen, first of all, in how Christ was rejected at his birth. In the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, chapter 1, and there we read verses 10 and 11 about the Lord Jesus being rejected. We read in John 1 verse 10, He was in the world, And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So he came into the world. He came unto his own Jewish people, and his own received him not. There's the rejection. And that rejection which took place throughout the 33 or so years of ministry began at his birth. That rejection can be seen at the place of his birth. What took place at the Savior's birth certainly pointed forward to his death. Look at our text, the words of our text, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Why? Because there was no room. There's his rejection. There was no room for them in the inn. And these words clearly speak to us of how he was rejected even at his birth. There was no room. For many, even today, have no room for Christ. They have no room for Christ either in their hearts or in their home. They reject him. He had indeed come unto his own, and his own received him not. He come into the world to save sinners, but sinners still reject him, and sinners make it very clear they have no room for Christ in their heart. We preach the gospel to them and can preach it week after week after week, and they leave the house of God as they came in. They don't have to speak the word. Their actions say it all. I have no room for Christ. So no room being found for him at his birth. And that simply points forward to his death. John chapter 19. And here we have, as it were, those words again, coming from the lips of those who rejected the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 19 and verse 15. And they cried out, "Away with him." We have no room for him. "Away with him. Away with him. Crucify him." What are they doing? What do they actually say? They're saying, "We have no room for Christ. There's no room for Christ in our world. There's no room for Christ in our ways. There's no room for Christ in our worship." They're saying, "Away with him. Crucify him. We have no room." Nothing much has changed, as we've said, since the days of the Savior's birth. Men still say, "I have no room for Christ." You think of many today who will meet in their places of worship, and they will sing the hymns that we have already sung this morning. And they'll sing those words, "O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord." The same time, they've no room. They've no room for him in their heart, and they're basically saying, "Away with him." We notice also his rejection, not only at the place of his birth, but by the people following his birth. What took place in the days following the Savior's birth was a foretaste of what would follow. Herod, upon learning about the birth of the Christ, made his feelings and his intentions very clear. In Matthew chapter 2, and again, familiar words. In Matthew 2, and there we read in verse 13, and this, Matthew 2, verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. He's rejected at his birth. And he's only an infant, but he's rejected. Take the young child, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. I want you to notice one word in particular. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy. Destroy him. That's what Herod sought to do. He sought to destroy Christ. And there you have, at the birth of the Savior, a foretaste of what the Lord Jesus would face throughout the rest of his days on earth until he was nailed to the cross. In Matthew 12, verse 14, and the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Same word again. But then when we go to Matthew 27, here we are right at the cross. We go to Matthew 27. And there in Matthew 27, and we read in verse 20. And the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas, there's the word again, that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The same word that was used in those days following the birth of Christ was used at the close of the Lord's ministry. Destroy. And so here we have the word used at his birth. And it simply pointed forward to his death. Christ was born to die. He came into the world seek and to save. And to save, he had to die. But all who reject Christ, all who today cry out, away with him, all who will choose Barabbas instead of Jesus, better be warned. Listen to this. 1 John 3, verse 8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And it was the devil who was behind those, who prompted those to cry out, away with him. It was the devil who was behind those words, "Give us Barabbas and destroy Jesus." And how many today would readily destroy Jesus? And by their very rejection of him, that's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. I will choose Barabbas. And I will destroy Jesus. But all who want to destroy Jesus better mind those words we have quoted there in 1 John 3, verse 8. He was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. The day is coming when the tables will be turned. And the destroyed, the one who the people wanted to destroy, he'll be the destroyer. Manifested to destroy the works of the devil. We notice also not only how Christ was rejected at his birth, and that simply pointed forward to his death, but we see also how Christ was recognized at his birth. How he was rejected, how he was recognized. And how he was recognized, again, points forward to the Savior's death and his reason for coming into the world, that is, to die for sinners. Now, the Lord Jesus, the Savior of his people, was recognized when he came into the world as God manifest in flesh. And how he was recognized is interesting, because when we consider Christ in his cradle, we see Christ on his cross. Notice first of all the arrival of Christ. We are told and we are informed about the Savior's arrival there in verses 7 and 8. Look at those words in Luke 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. We've already noted that he was rejected even the very day he was born, because there was no room for him. Now look at verse 8. And there were shepherds in the same country. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So the Savior wasn't born. Christ didn't come into the world at the time when the sun was high in the sky. He didn't come into the world in the blaze of sunshine. He came into the world at night. His birth was at night. So we see that the birth of Christ happened at night. That fact alone, again, points to his death. There's the Savior, and he's hanging on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth. And these are the words that we read. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness. There's the night. There was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, Matthew 27 and 45. Darkness. Christ was born at the time of darkness. When did he die? He died at the time of darkness, even though it wasn't the daytime. Yet there was darkness over all the land. And just in passing, when the Lord Jesus was born, heaven rejoiced. There was that heavenly host. When Christ died, there was no heavenly host singing. Heaven mourned. When the Lord Jesus was nailed to the cross. But darkness at that time enshrined his birth, and there was darkness over all the land approaching his death. So the darkness at his birth pointed forward to the darkness at his death. And does such darkness not teach us of the awful spiritual darkness in the world that Jesus came into? Came to seek and to save that which was lost. And those who were lost, that's where they're sitting today. Darkness. And that's why he came into the world. For we read there in verse 79 of Luke chapter 1. To give, Christ came into the world, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Came to seek and to save that which was lost, and those who were lost are sitting at this very hour in darkness. But the darkness at his birth pointed forward to the darkness at his death. Not only do we have the arrival of Christ, notice also the appearance of Christ. Again, we turn to Luke chapter 2, and there in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now go down to verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. The angel was saying to the shepherds, this is how you'll recognize him. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You will recognize him because he will be wrapped in swaddling clothes. And those words, wrapped in swaddling clothes, transport us to the days of the Savior's death. You recall Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of the Lord Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. But when Joseph of Arimathea got a glimpse of the cross, Christ on the cross, he could no longer remain as a secret disciple. But Joseph of Arimathea, we're told, went to Pilate and begged the body of Pilate, or of Christ. And he took that body. What did he do? He wrapped that body. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. And the material that had been used to wrap the Christ child would be the same type of material that was used to wrap the body of Christ. And laid him in the tomb by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. It's quite wonderful that there at his birth, we're reminded of his death. Mary had taken the Christ child and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And that's how he was recognized by the shepherds. And there we have the Savior, wrapped his body, wrapped again in clean linen cloth, the same type of material that would have been used to wrap the Christ child. And when Mary wrapped the Christ child, it was pointing forward to his death and how his body would be wrapped by Joseph of Arimathea. Yes, Christ came to die. It's amazing. We see him there in his cradle. But when we look closely enough, we can see him there on his cross. Something else, as well as the arrival of Christ and the appearance of Christ, we notice further the appeal about Christ. When the wise men came from the east to seek for the Christ child, they made an appeal. What was their appeal? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Matthew 2, verse 2. And in passing, we have to point out and remind ourselves that while the wise men are mentioned in connection with the birth of Christ, they didn't arrive till 2 years later. The Christ child would be 2 years of age now by the time the wise men arrived. Hence the reason for Herod killing the two-year-old children in the hope of killing or destroying Christ. But nevertheless, the wise men are mentioned here in connection or associated with the birth of Christ. And they came and they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Now we go to John. In John 19. John 19 and verse 19. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Was it written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin? It was written so that those who spoke Hebrew and Latin would understand the title, would understand the writing. And it would be a reminder to us that Christ Jesus came into the world not only to save those who spoke Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Yes, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And then he turned to the Gentiles. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate said, answered, "What I have written, I have written." Made it. King of the Jews. When the wise man said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" The very fact that they spoke those words pointed forward, takes us again from the Christ child to the Christ on the cross. He was born to die. He was born to lay down his life. But listen, he's not only the King of the Jews. To all who know him, he's our King. And we can say personally today, he's my King. King of my life. I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. But he's not only the King of the Jews, he's not only our King, he's King of kings. He's King of all kings, past, present, and future. Praise his name. Where is he? That is born King of the Jews, pointing forward to his death on Calvary. In the last place, we have Christ and the reason for his birth. In his birth, we can see the reason for his coming into the world. And when we consider the reason, we see that reason unites his birth with his death. First of all, we have Christ and salvation. The message that was given to Joseph regarding Mary, and she bring forth a child, firstborn child, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. That's his birth. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So there it is made very clear. At the birth of Christ, why he had come, why he was born into the world, he was going to save his people from their sins. And we've already noted and looked at and considered how he was going to save. He had to die. That's why he came. He had to die and shed his blood. He's washed us from our sins in his own blood. Joseph was told that at the birth of Christ. It's the same at the death of Christ. Look at Matthew 27. It's amazing. The message that even his enemies delivered, not knowing basically what they were saying. In Matthew 27, in verse 39, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, listen, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. He saved others. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. And so when that name was given to Joseph, the angel was really saying, when Mary's delivered of a child, you'll call his name Jesus, because he's come, he's born into this world to save. To save sinners. He's born to die, and to save sinners he must die. And so there in the giving of the name of Christ, we are reminded of his death. Not his death, his enemies cried out, he saved others. And praise God, he's still saving others. He's still saving souls. That's why he came into the world. Christ Jesus came into the world. What to do? To save sinners. So we see the reason for Christ coming in salvation. We also have his birth and death. And we see it in the scriptures. The fulfillment of scripture. In Matthew chapter 1, there in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. His coming into the world was prophesied. His coming into the world when the Lord Jesus was born of a virgin. That was prophesied. The fulfillment of prophecy. When Christ died, every aspect of death. We read in John 19 and verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scriptures must be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Every detail of scripture was fulfilled regarding his birth. And every detail of scripture surrounding his death was fulfilled. From his birth to his death. In his birth and in his death, we see the two great events united. You look at his birth and all those events that happened pointed to his death. When a child is born into the world, that's the last thing you think about. You don't think of the child's death and a number of years ahead. We look at the birth of Christ and we can see his death in his Christ was born to die. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and loving Father, we bless thee for the word. For the word. Thank thee for his coming into this world. Even in those events, we're reminded of the reason why he came. We are dead. And O Lord Jesus, we know thou didst not have to come. Thy Lord could have left us to our sin, because we did not merit thy salvation, did not merit thy coming. But we thank thee that thou didst come to save thy people from their sins. And, O Lord, it's humbling to think that we're numbered people. Lord, bless the word today and use it to thy glory. be with us throughout this day. Keep thy hand upon us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.